Welcome to our city council meeting, December 14th, 2009. We're glad to have each and every one of you here, especially good to see the Boy Scouts, Scout Troop. Thank you for coming. Citizenship time. And I hope you'll learn something here, one way or the other. I hope it's good, but it's good to have you here. As we begin our meeting, if you would, please stand with us for our prayer and our Pledge of Allegiance. Most gracious and loving God, as Christmas approaches and the year comes to a close, we want to take this opportunity to thank you for all the blessings you've bestowed on our community and us individually, but most importantly, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for our citizens and our volunteers who care and do their utmost to help improve our city, many times going over and above what might be expected. We thank you for our dedicated city management team, city manager, staff, and employees who are working every day to both maintain and enhance our city and provide information that helps council make decisions. We thank you for those who have served and those currently serving on city council. Help us to make the best and many times tough decisions that will improve the quality of life for our citizens. Dear God, for these and many more reasons, we thank you. Please give us wisdom and guidance this evening as we discuss the issues in front of us. For it is in the name of your Son we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the agenda as printed.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Next item is the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of November 23rd, 2009. Any discussion necessary? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor?
Mr. Mayor, I move we accept the minutes.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All in favor? Show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Under presentations, the first item is the 175th proclamation. Let me just say a word about this. As we all know, our kickoff for our 175th year celebration for our 175th birthday is coming up January 9th with the kickoff. And this is a proclamation that I will present at that time. And so I took a little liberty to write it. If anyone has any questions or changes they'd like to make, I want it to be from all of us. So certainly free to make any comments about it you would like. If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve?
So moved, Mr. Mayor. I think you did a great job.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Under old business, appointments and boards to commissions. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. We have several appointments tonight for council's consideration. Councilwoman Clyburn would like to recommend the appointment of Jason Price to the Board of Zoning Appeals to replace Robert Stallworth, who has resigned. Councilmember Ebner would like to reappoint Mr. Paterniti to the Board of Zoning Appeals. And he would also like the reappointment of Ronald Delamora to the Environmental Committee. Councilmember Homolke would like to reappoint Lucy Knowles to the Design Review Board. Councilwoman Price would like to recommend the appointment of Leroy Myrick, the Community Development Committee, to replace Joseph Harrison, and the reappointment of Leonardo Brooker to the Planning Commission. And Councilmember Wells would like to recommend the reappointment of Lynn Henry to the Design Review Board. And if council has an opportunity to discuss the possibility of appointing someone to the Aiken Corporation. These are the eight appointments before you tonight.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for these?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we make these appointments and they become effective as soon as the terms require that they do.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion on any of the appointments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, let the record reflect that I am voting on everyone except Jason Price.
Okay, understand. Now, on the last paragraph there, do you want to discuss any further at this point in time the appointment to the Aiken Corporation Board?
I would move the appointment of Don Wells if he's interested.
Mr. Mayor, I'm currently serving as council's representative to the Downtown Development Association, so I would rather not serve on both.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dick. Is anyone at this point in time would like to take this position?
Are you interested, Richie?
Well, we don't have
to. I'm a new kid on the block. I don't know if I'm interested or not.
But both of them were both, Mr. Homoke and Mr. Eppner were both at the last meeting, so I don't know whether.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, are you interested?
I personally think it would be great if one of you would do it, but not necessarily tonight if you don't feel like that.
Aiken Corporation.
I mean, if you want to wait
to
next meeting or the meeting after that?
I'd prefer to think about it a little bit.
There's no real hurry on this.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
if that's complete, I do, if this is appropriate time, I want to nominate Marion Nafee for the Parks Commission. So that would be on the agenda for the January meeting, please.
All right. Okay.
And, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to nominate Margaret Marion for the Park Commission and Dacre Stoker for the Environmental Commission.
Okay. Any others?
Mr. Mayor, I need to replace my appointment to the Planning Commission, but I'd like to ask him to stay until I could confirm with a nominee that and get the form filled out that
okay.
I would then reappoint someone. I think his term is already up, and I'd like for him to continue until we get a replacement.
Well, it's normal that they would normally stay. It's normal that they would normally stay on until there's another appointment made, unless
if at all
for some
possible.
Reason.
Okay.
Yeah, if at all possible. Yeah. Okay. Are there any others? If not, that concludes that item on the agenda. Item 2, under old business, presentation by Aiken Corporation. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have two presentations tonight. One is concerning a study that Aiken Corporation had completed by the University of South Carolina at Aiken, and the other one is their annual audit. And I'd like to call on the chairman, Wade Brody, to go ahead and introduce both subjects.
Thank you, Roger. Wade Brody, chairman of Aiken Corporation. We appreciate the opportunity to appear before you this evening and to talk to you a little bit about Aiken Corporation. We're going to move the auditor up first, and that he's out of Greenwood and has to drive back in this messy weather out there tonight. We have with us Dan Mullenick, who is with Elliott Davis and performed a recent audit. And he has a handout. You all, I understand, have received a copy of the audit, and he'll take a few minutes to make some general comments, and then if you have any questions, we'll open it up for questions. Dan?
First, I want to thank you for allowing me tonight to present to Council the audit with Aiken Corp and subsidiaries. I've been with Elliott Davis for about 10 years now. Formerly, I was at a Big Four firm in Texas, so I'm a little bit older than you probably think. The one good thing you mentioned about your 175th proclamation, that date, January 9th, was probably one of the best days because that's my birthday.
Okay. So. We'll try to remember that.
Okay. Again, it's good to be here. I presented before council before related to the City of Aiken audit and like 2 years ago. This year, as in the past 5 or 6 years, Aiken Corp's audit went well, very well. Over the past 5 years, they've grown each year on what they were doing. But this year, we did not find anything that really concerned us. This year, if you look at your report, on consolidated financial statements on page one, it's our opinion. That opinion is an unqualified opinion. That means it's the financial statements that presented are materially correct. And we did not find any major issues with the financial numbers. We also did not find no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, which means anything to bring an attention to Aiken Corp's board. In the prior years, we've always made recommendations, some small, some pretty good recommendations. Last year, we had about, I think, 8 or 10 recommendations for them to change procedures and just common recommendations. They instituted or they put in place all of those recommendations. This year, we really didn't find anything that to tell the board that concerned us. Let's see. This financial statement, it's Aiken Corp and subsidiary, and it includes all 7 committees of Aiken Corp, including LED, which is the Aiken Playhouse building. If you look on page 2, we got the consolidated statement of financial position. This is basically their balance sheet. This shows what they have in assets, what they owe, and what's their equity balance, their net worth. And again, I will go to a comparative statement so you can kind of see a history of the balance sheet of Aiken Corp. Page 3 is consolidated statement of activities. This is all 7 committees within Aiken Corporation, and this is their revenues on the top portion and then their expenses. As you can see, during the year, their net value increased over $500,000 during the year. So, and that's one thing that we always want to see. We don't want to see not-for-profits going negative, at least consistently negative. So you can see that the Aiken Corporation's value is increasing slowly over time, and we will go over that on the comparative statement at the very end. If you look on page 5 through 11, these are your notes to the financial statements, and I'm not going to go in great detail. When you read a financial statement, these are items that you really need to pay attention to. They describe in detail what makes up the different items on the balance sheet and any issues or descriptions of what makes up the revenues and expenditures. So numbers from these notes will correlate to pages 2 and 3. So later on, when you have time, if you really want to understand, okay, what does this number really mean? If you go in the notes, it will describe it to you. In the back, pages 12 through 18, this is schedules 1 through 7. This is a lot of not-for-profits. We don't really, bless you, we don't really provide this detail, but this is something that I think is very important for the management and the board. And this is each committee's cash-in, cash-out details for the year. So this kind of shows them, okay, we've like on Schedule 1, we received $7,000 in this committee, and this is what we spent it on during the year cash-wise. And it's more in layman's terms of information. Let's see. And if we go to the three-page handout that we handed out this evening, November 11th, I met with the board, and I spent probably an hour and 20 minutes with them at around the table in the room next door. And we went through their financial statements, and we asked questions. They were very good in articulating their concerns. We talked about risk within Aiken Corporation, and you can tell they're in a proactive mindset, which is a very good thing to do. We talked about interest rate risk. We talked about the notes with the City of Aiken, notes with other institutions. But that was a very good experience for the board. And each year, hopefully, we will continue doing that. This three-page schedule that we handed out tonight is basically a snapshot going back 5 years. And you can kind of see where they stand on their assets, where they stand on their liabilities, and their net asset value. And June 30th, 2005, the net value after you take their assets less what they owe was about $1.9 million. Today, it's about $3.9 million. So over time, with the different projects that were going on, their value has increased due to these projects that they've been going through and are still going through. Page 2 of the handout. This is the revenues and expenditures for Aiken Corporation and all the subsidiaries, or all the committees. And as you can see, it gives you a snapshot line by line. And if you have a question on, okay, well, why isn't this revenue is there last year but not this year, this provides that guidance to show you instead of just looking at one column of 1 year. So this kind of gives a good history the past 5 years. And during our meeting on the 11th, we went into great detail and just went explanation-wise, and several lines we discussed, okay, well, why did this really happen or should have happened? Page 3, and this is the one that boards typically care about, is they care about their cash position, they care about what they owe on notes. This gives their cash positions by year, by committee. And you can kind of see they have checking accounts for all their different committees, so there's no commingled funds, which is that's a very positive thing. I've been on many non-for-profits, development boards such as Aiken Corp that have one checking account, and that creates problems. So this is a detail by committee of their cash, and then the bottom piece is what their notes payables are by year. So as you can see, is their notes have declined from $3.3 million down to $2.6 million notes payables. They do have other smaller liabilities at the end of the year, but it shows that they're paying their debt off. The one thing, though, in the notes, it does mention, subsequent to year-end with the railroad project and other projects going on, they did increase their line of credit to $1 million. So that was something that, it's good to know as a reader with Aiken Corp. And I think as of last week, I talked to Lisa. She emailed me, and I think they are up to about $500,000. Or $580,000 drawn on that line of credit as of last week. Do you have any questions I know this is a lot of numbers on Aiken Corporation.
Yeah, the handouts that you gave tonight where you talk about the city of Aiken on page, the notes payable portion.
Okay.
Is it fair to conclude from what you're saying that the Aiken Corporation has paid down their loan for the Playhouse, $600,000 total, so $120,000 per year?
Correct. They've paid down that loan over the last 5 years.
And somewhere in here, because they get a lot more than that, is it reflected? I'm sure it is, the difference between what's collected and what's given to the city to pay down the loan.
If on page 3 in the financial statement, or no, I'm sorry, page 4, it shows the repayments of notes payable during the year.
Page.
And that's their cash.
What note is that?
Page 4 on the financial statement of cash flows.
Okay.
I think it's right. I'm sorry. And during the year, they paid $100,000 in interest during the year on all their notes.
Trying to catch up with you here.
On page 4, under financing activities.
It's actually page
62. Okay.
Yeah,
62. Okay. They are, Aiken Corporation is paying down that note according to the terms. They do over time, the past 5 years, each year, some years they renegotiated what the minimum payment was each year.
And the rent per month for the building?
It's about $28,000 or so.
Yeah, if it's 28 and they're paying back an average of 12, so the difference is 16.
Yep. And also they are putting aside, if you look on page, the schedule of cash, the handout I gave tonight, their cash position on LED is growing. And the reason why is that it's more about risk management. They need to start building some cash for repairs. If something happens and 2 years from now or something happens with losing the paint, not being able to get the rent, they have some time to deal with that situation. So over time, this past year, LED's cash has gone up $90,000, and that was something that the board said, we need to do this if there's a major repair that happens. So part of that rent payment is going into the cash account. Also, part of it's going in the cash account because LED is a for-profit entity, so it has to pay taxes. So it pays about $40,000 in federal taxes every year.
Well, I had heard the figure of 60, but so they're getting $350,000 annual in revenue. They're paying $120,000 against a loan, which leaves $230,000, 40 to 60 of that for taxes.
For taxes. About 80 is going to the cash account. The difference is this past year, in the middle of the year, there was 2 or 3 months this past year that they deferred paying, and that was something that was discussed with council or agreed to. So the pay down of that loan this year was a lower amount because they renegotiated the rate or the when it's due this past year.
Well, the note is due January 1st, 2012.
Yep.
And can I assume, based on your note 7, that they're paying 4% interest on it?
Probably close to that. It's based on the one, I believe it's 1% above the state rate.
With a minimum of 4%.
Minimum of 4%. And that was one, the note, and this shows you about the board, that was one of about 20 minutes out of discussion was about that note. You know, what is the board going to do? You know, what interest rate risk are it's out there for the city, for Aiken Corporation, and what do they need to do? So,
with regard to the pledges receivable, is there a generally accepted percentage of disallowance? Because every place you mention, it seems to be every place you mention pledges, you also mention allowance for uncollectible pledges.
Okay.
And it seems to be about between 20 and 25%.
Yes, the pledges... during this discussion with the board, in initially with Wade and Lisa talking about pledges, that and in the past probably 4 to 5 years, they've used that allowance about 25%.
Okay.
And then also you have to, it didn't really impact it this year, but in prior years, the discount of time, pledges going out 2 or 3 years. The pledges included in the financial is all pledges. You have to take into account, like you were mentioning, the discount and then the allowance. But then there's two pledges that were not recorded just because the nature of those pledges. One was the county pledge because it needs to be voted on in 2010 or 2012. I don't remember which year. And then one other pledge had a contingency clause saying you have to do this before we'll give you the $200,000 or whatever the amount was.
Some of the city donations to both the Railroad Depot and the African American Cultural Center were based on matching pledges.
Mm-hmm.
Have you reviewed that?
We've reviewed that. We reviewed in prior years, and we find no issues.
So you were able to match the amount of money in pledges so that that enabled the city to,
yeah,
to give them
their
money.
Pledge amount was over what they needed to be the match.
Okay, great. The line of credit is note 6 now has up to $500,000.
Mm-hmm. As of year end, the note had availability of $500,000, and then I think they borrowed up to $125,000 was used on that line. Subsequent, after June 30th, the board went out and went to the bank and said, "Can we increase this by $2 million?" And that's what has happened after, I think it was in October.
Yeah, that was a comment on your note 13. Okay, so that's the same note.
Yeah.
I had the same comment, I can't put my hands on it, this year as last year, and that is that we seem to have more money in one bank than is covered by the insurance. Here it is, note 9. This year we had $735,000 in one bank, and...
I believe in the prior year, if I'm thinking of another client, I think in the prior year we did talk to them and said... you had amounts too much in one bank that was uncollateralized.
Yes.
And then this year, the bank, I believe, put collateral against the amount so that they would be, if the bank went.
And what do you mean by that?
That meaning they set aside investments in treasury bonds or funds of that sort. That's designated. If the bank goes under, that investment will cover that difference. The city of Aiken has the same thing with some of the banks.
So you don't need to be worried about the $250,000 FDIC limit.
What it is that you take into account the $250,000. And then the difference they have to show is collateralized, and I believe that's the case, that the bank collateralized.
Yeah, I didn't see, the note 9 is more related to related party transactions, mm-hmm. which is always a red flag, but
yeah.
I think council is well aware of who does what.
Okay. And on page 6, in the financials, and I don't know which page numbers in yours, it says under cash and cash equivalents on the third or fourth sentence, it does say that there are full. It says the organization's primary operating accounts are fully collateralized, and that's what that means.
So. Yeah. Okay, so you're pretty well satisfied that financially the Aiken Corporation is reporting properly and there's nothing special that you need to highlight to us?
No, sir.
Thank you. Good presentation.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions by from council members? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second just to take this information?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Show of hands, please, all in favor. Approval. Passes unanimously.
Thank you, Dan. Drive careful.
Okay, under the business.
I guess about a year ago.
Excuse me,
for another presentation. About a year ago, our financial guru, John Cunningham, in one of our meetings, raised the question, are we getting value received for dollars invested? And that question led to our talking to the University of South Carolina, Aiken, about doing a study. It was decided to that information would be very worthwhile to the corporation, and we entered into a contract with the university to do the study. Dr. Sonella Portia was assigned that task, and she's here with us this evening to talk to you about it. Dr. Portia.
Thank you, Mr. Brody. Good evening.
Good evening.
I am very pleased and privileged to be in front of the City Council tonight. And I apologize. My name is Sonella Portia. I am Professor of Economics and International Business at the University of South Carolina, Aiken. As Mr. Brody told you, about a year ago, he and Mr. Cunningham came to USC Aiken and asked us to pretty much sort together all of their projects and estimate an economic impact that the Aiken Corporation had on the city. So during that meeting, I really wasn't sure which way the numbers were going to go, because without putting everything in order and estimating an economic model, you really cannot determine what is going to happen. So basically, we agreed to start this study, where the purpose of the study was going to provide an overview of the local economy, as well as to determine the economic impact that the Aiken Corporation and ADDA had on the city. So as good an economist as I am, I hope, I started this study by giving a little historic background. And basically what you are going to find in this study, information on the local economy. In some instances, we were able to actually get the data on the city level and compare it to the county level versus the state and national level. And sometimes that data was not available. So what you're going to see throughout this study, again, is the data on the local economy. I assume that you guys do take lots of actions on the city's future, and of course you are very responsible in doing that. So I hope you are going to find some of the information provided by this study that can be useful for you in the future. So the numbers on the Aiken city's population and Aiken County population simply indicate us that Aiken has been growing steadily over the last several decades, and as time passed, the city was becoming more and more part of the Aiken County. In terms of the total income that we have here in Aiken County, well, last year we had about $4.8 billion of the total income. The total income is really composed of earnings, dividends, interest, rent, and also the government transfer. But if you look at just the total personal income, those numbers usually don't tell you enough about the local economy. So what I gave you here is the per capita personal income. Why is this important for anybody to look at? Well, every time when we put the personal income in per capita terms, we get better idea about the the living standard of the local community. So what you can see here is that the city is during the 80s and during the 90s had steady growth, but that growth, and it was below the county's average, but the growth has surpassed during the 2007. Interestingly enough, the city of Aiken's the county of Aiken is ranked 10th in the state of South Carolina in terms of the personal income per capita. And personal income per capita is commonly reported measure of the economic well-being of one area. So there are a few other things that you're going to find in this report which I would like to get your attention. And of course, you know, in terms of relative terms, I gave some information on per capita income growth, median household income, employment and unemployment, as well as the labor force participation rate, retail sales per capita. I have a little sad story to tell you here in terms of the retail sales. My numbers are indicating that every year, on average, $855 million leave Aiken County, meaning that our residents cross-border shop to Georgia or they shop in Columbia, South Carolina. So there's a huge outflow, which brings me to the next section of the report that talks about basic and non-basic industries. And again, even though this report should focus on the economic impact of the Aiken Corporation, because you have a very responsible job of guiding this city to the future, I do want to point your attention to a section in this study that talks about those industries, basic and non-basic industries, where basically the basic industries are the ones that bring dollars in, their inflow to the economy, and non-basic industries are the ones that outflow, or in other words, leak money outside of the local economy. So we have industries that could be stimulated in the future. Those are non-basic industries, and I think I gave you, I do have on page 64 of my report the list of those industries if you would like to look at them in the future and maybe talk to me about those. Basically, those basic industries are considered to be the engines of the economic growth. And for the local economy, we have administrative and waste services. Those are the engines of the local economic growth. Utilities, construction, manufacturing, and retail. And non-basic industries would be the ones that you should, everybody should pay attention. Interestingly enough, with the Aiken Corporation, the projects, some of the projects which they have conducted over the years did focus on some of the non-basic industries, such as art, entertainment, and recreation, as well as accommodation, food services, real estate, and rental and leasing. So those would be the ones that need to be further stimulated if we want to boost our local economic growth and development. And a few other things that I gave you in the study when I want to describe to you the local economy are information on some demographic profile of the city throughout the decades. And and here in this table really is a combination of the two tables that you are going to find in your study, shows the number of occupied housing units and its constant increase over the time, and the number of owner-occupied housing units that has been on the rise as well. Poverty rate has been declining, and number of employed residents has been increasing. So all of those things are little background on our local economy, which I hope you will be able to utilize. And the reason why I gave all that information in my study is to pretty much show you the full effect that the Aiken Corporation had on the local economy. In order for me to accurately estimate an economic impact study, I conducted the business location survey. This is the survey that I conducted in spring of 2009, spring of this year, and I interviewed 62 local business owners. These 62 business owners were kind enough to share valuable information with me that was used to estimate the economic impact of the Aiken Corporation. And of course, I had to rely on the financial data of the Aiken Corporation in order to get to my final numbers. So basically, from the respondents of individuals who participated in the business location survey, I did find that the primary business activities, 56% of the businesses were part of the service sector. Retail trade is the second one with 36%, distribution 6%, and manufacturing 2%. This gives you a little idea about the industries that are located here in downtown Aiken and its nearby proximity. Out of those 62 local businesses, 57% were new businesses. They were new to town. 30% expanded and 13% relocated from somewhere else. So it is majority of the business owners were the new business owners, and they were the ones again, providing us with the data. In terms of the time when they started their business, here we have an interesting story. The earliest business that I interviewed started back in 1954. And, of course, the latest one was in 2009. And in 1950s, during the 1950s, 7% of those interviewed businesses started during the 50s, 7% started in the 60s. During the 70s, only 4% were the ones locating here in Aiken. This is also interesting, I think, for the members of the City Council, as it nicely ties with some of the information which I gave you earlier about the local economy. During the 70s, we had, of course, recession, and during the recession, the employment growth was down, unemployment rate was on the rise, and this clearly is showed here, even in our business location survey. Then, during the 80s, beginning of the 80s, there was another the recession, but the employment growth did pick up during the late 80s, and 18% of our surveyed businesses started during the 80s. 90s, 30% of businesses that I interviewed started up during the 90s, and since 2000, 41% businesses started. So, one of the questions, and of course, at the end of this this report, you are going to see the survey which the business owners had to answer. And one of the questions was, I asked them about the top reasons why they located to Aiken. Why did they choose Aiken versus any other place? So, the top reasons were access to customers, community image, quality of surrounding area, existing infrastructure. Those are the reasons which they indicated as the top reasons why they moved to Aiken. Why did they choose Aiken as their business location? Also, one of the questions asked them to give us some guidance, to give us some suggestions in terms of what can the city do, what can we as a community do to improve business climate. What were their recommendations? Taxes. This should not be a surprise to them, all right? Most of the local businesses, not just in this community, but any community, think taxes are too high. So, you know, taxes, of course, were their first priority. Traffic development and downtown parking, local economy. They would like to see a little bit more involvement from the policymakers in terms of improving the local economy. Please keep in mind that the survey was conducted during the spring of 2009. Those were the rough months for the local economy, am I right? As well as for the state and the nation's economy. So it seems that some of the business owners were really seeking that assurance from the city leaders and the business leaders about the local economy. And a few other things that, of course, are always on the list: responsiveness of the local local government, appearance and the image of town, and so on and so forth. So those are the suggestions that they had. Of course, when we get to the end of this report, I'm going to give you some of their written comments as well, so that could be hopefully of your assistance. One of the questions, another question on this business location survey, asked business owners to tell us a little bit about their business. How are they doing? And majority of them were maintaining their business. About 49% of them were growing, and there were few businesses that were struggling. As a matter of fact, you know, one of those businesses for sure, unfortunately, closed in the meantime since the survey was conducted. Those were the your next door neighbors, the Old Aiken Market. They were one of the respondents, and they did close in the meantime, unfortunately. So, you know, so here are some of the projects that Aiken Corporation has conducted throughout the years. And I'm sure you are familiar with Aiken 2020 projects. There are the streetscape and lighting projects, relocation of Greater Aiken Chamber of Commerce, Parker projects, numerous housing projects, and beautification and historic preservation projects. All of these projects had one thing in mind, and that is to improve the living standard of people in Aiken, and they intended to bring more residents, more businesses to downtown, and make the downtown more attractive. So again, when I was asked to do this economic impact study, I was given the financial data from the Aiken Corporation, and I had to rely on the results which I got from the business survey. How does one go about doing an economic impact study? Well, there's a certain procedure that you have to do. There are certain steps that everybody has to take in order to obtain X numbers of economic impact. So basically what we do in economics here, we try to estimate what were direct and long-term effects of each dollar that an industry, a business, or a project spent, and what kind of effect they had on the local economy. So what you're going to see throughout the text are something called direct effect, indirect, induced, and total economic impact effect. Direct effect simply means that every dollar which Aiken Corporation spent on a project was directly affecting the local economy by that same amount. And that also implies that every business that participated in those transactions was improved, was better off by this spending. So direct effect is associated with those direct gross receipts. Indirect effect has to do with those backward leakages. In other words, when a company, in this case when Aiken Corporation, spends money to purchase inputs to production or to invest in something, then the company for which from which they are purchasing those inputs to production uses the portion of their income to purchase their input to production, and therefore they affect another company or another industry. So this is what we call indirect indirect effects. Indirect effects are again those backward leakages. Every dollar spent, one portion goes to one sector or one industry, another portion goes to another. That sector, sector A, that used the portion of Aiken Corporation's money, had to spend portion of that income on another input, and so on and so forth. Induced effect has to do with household's income. So in this case, if Aiken Corporation was purchasing something from a company, that company had to pay their employees salaries. Employee went to a local grocery store and purchased groceries. They also had to pay for their housing, for their insurance, for gasoline. The portion of that money that Aiken Corporation spent that went toward the household income, again, had an effect, had the multiple effect on household income in the local economy. And finally, the total economic impact is simply the cumulative effect of all these direct, indirect, and induced effects. And I know that, you know, maybe at this point it looks a little blurry with those direct, induced, and indirect effects, but I will repeat myself as we go through. So basically, from the data obtained from the Aiken Corporation and the survey that I have conducted, these are the key findings. The Aiken Corporation, throughout the projects which they conducted and or supported, they were able to support 1,126 full-time jobs. There are additional 187 jobs due to the indirect effects. Again, indirect effect is when an industry is selling inputs to Aiken Corporation, and because of that sale, they are able to hire more people to work for them. Induced effects, those are 382 jobs are due to those induced effects. Induced effects are, again, results of the household spending in the local economy. So altogether, 1,695 jobs in the city of Aiken and Aiken County were created due to the projects that Aiken Corporation has supported. If you think about this number, if you think about 1,695 jobs that were created throughout this time, this accounts to almost 2% of the total employment in the county. So it's pretty impressive number given, again, the size of the local economy. So here you have the same information, but just given to you in a chart. The total number of jobs created is simply the summation of direct, induced, and indirect employment. The second number which we always report when we do economic impact studies is the number on household income. How much of the household income was created due to the sum of the projects that Aiken Corporation has conducted? And the numbers in this case are 21.273 million in income effect that resulted from Aiken Corporation's and Aiken Downtown Development Association's projects. In addition to those 21.273 million, there were additional indirect leakages. Remember, again, those are the industries that participated in transactions with Aiken Corporation or the projects that Aiken Corporation has conducted. And as a result, they were creating income. They were paying their workers 4.834 million. Induced effects are the effects of household spending, $8.709 million. In total, we are talking about $34.816 million in household income. This is the local household income that was created due to those projects conducted, supported, and or sponsored by the Aiken Corporation. And again, another chart for you that simply indicates the total number, the final number, well, less than $35 million in household income is the summation of direct, induced, and indirect effects. One last thing that is pretty much the cookie cutter when you do one of those studies, economic impact studies, is to give information on the gross output of the local economy. So in this case, the total output of the economy was affected by $82.899 million. Those are the gross receipts that were created as a result of $43.658 million in direct gross receipts that Aiken Corporation had throughout the years, additional $13.537 million in indirect effects and $25.703 million in induced effect. So $82.899 million in gross receipts is a very impressive number. all right, but also is the list of the projects that they have conducted. Again, you never know which way the economic indicators are going to go unless you plug in the numbers into the model and you estimate the effect. And let me give you a little background on the procedure here. Given the fact that Aiken Corporation have done so many different projects and so many different these projects have affected different industries, it wasn't really an easy thing, if you will, to just plug in their numbers and estimate these $82 plus million. What I had to do for them is a little bit different, and I had to be a little bit more precise and account for all these different sectors, all these different industries they have influenced and they have affected, and weight differently each sector and each project. So this final number, which you are seeing here, $82.899 million in gross receipt, is as precise as you can get, given again given the nature of the business of the Aiken Corporation. So, pretty impressive numbers. Again, for some time, I was really anxious about, you know, what the numbers are going to be, but they turn out to be just, you know, just right numbers for the size of the projects that they have done. And of course, you know, given the fact that they have participated in improvement of housing here in town, they also had effect on the property tax revenue, which my model indicates to come a little over $5 million. These key findings, which we are reporting here tonight, are taking into account different projects, different time periods, and in the end what we have is something called the multiplier effect that each dollar which Aiken Corporation has spent had on the local economy. So for the Aiken Corporation and their projects, their multiplier comes to 1.8. What does that mean? It simply means that every dollar which they spent in the local economy created additional 80 cents in the economy. All right? Mm-hmm. Well, is this a good number or a bad number? How do you rank these numbers here? Well, it is the average number, a little bit higher than the average. Actually, you know, the key, remember the basic and non-basic industries that I was trying to get your attention earlier on? The leading industries here locally, industries such as construction and manufacturing sectors, these numbers, their multiplier numbers are 2.05 for manufacturing sector and 2.10 for construction sectors, and those are the engines of the local growth. Remember, however, you know, there are sectors such as finance, insurance, and real estate whose multiplier is 1.5, and mining multiplier is 1.7. So for a corporation, for a non-profit development corporation such as Aiken Corporation, to have 1.8 multiplier is again an impressive finding. So that is something that I needed to point to you as well. So here we have a study that took a whole year. It really took me an entire year from the beginning to the end to conduct, and it took lots of hours of sorting through Aiken Corporation's boxes and boxes of projects which they have conducted. My office is literally buried with their, you know, manuscripts and their proposals, and they told me I can keep it. I can keep all that material. I don't think they meant it, you know. They prefer, you know, having things organized like this, but, you know, basically, you know, it took some time to sort all of those projects and took some time to get to the numbers which we are seeing tonight. When we talk to business, when I talk to the local business owners about the most important issues which they are facing here in town and future possible recommendations, here the the exact quotes of some of the individuals that we interviewed. They felt the need to improve traffic safety. Again, don't be surprised with lowering taxes. This is something very common when we talk to the local business owners. They need more. They are seeking more downtown development, more parking, more growth, of course. They need help in terms of creating more jobs. There were a couple of people talking about the cost of the business license, more small business friendly environment. That's another issue which they were quoting. And I don't think that you can do anything about the last one, am I right? Having a workforce that knows what to do and is educated and has drive to improve. I guess that's going to be my job over there at USCA to spend some time there. So, but this is, you know, this is what these are the issues which they wanted us to look at. And interestingly enough, when you look at the responses from these 62 businesses, and one of the questions in a survey was, if are the business owners familiar with the Aiken Corporation and Aiken Downtown Development Association, and if they are familiar with those two organizations, what do they think about their doings? Interestingly enough, those businesses that started during the 1990s. We are the ones mostly familiar with the Aiken Corporation. So I guess, you know, that also supports the finding that there was significant improvement and significant growth in the city as a result of this cooperation between the city and the Aiken Corporation. So, and here are the answers. Again, you know, Aiken Corporation had great idea of improving the local economy, but of course they also had a good partner with the city, and that is how successful they were over the years. But great, they have done great job in improving the local area. The economic impact that I have found, based again on the financial data which I was provided and the survey which I have conducted, shows a significant $82+ million effect on the local output, a little less than 1,700 jobs created in the local economy, and about $43 million effect on the household income. So, once again, it was really my personal privilege to work on this project. At first, I wasn't sure which way it's going to go, but after seeing the amount of work that Aiken Corporation have done to improve the city and everything that that I was I got to be familiar with over the last year, it made me really feel good about having Aiken Corporation and their partnership with the city council. So. That's my presentation. Do you have any questions?
Sanella, thank you very much for a very
thank you.
A very detailed and comprehensive study and analysis. It's obvious it took a long time, but great information. Any questions from council?
I'm just curious, how many people were on your team to pull this impact information together? One, just one.
I am the author. I am the person who runs numbers. I did have help from Mr. Wade Brody. Was so grateful. He met several times with me to kind of guide me through all these different projects of the Aiken Corporation, mm-hmm. and give me some insight. Mr. John Cunningham was there on a couple of occasions. Miss Carla
Cloud.
Hello. We spoke on the phone so many times, and I sent students to their office to get some of the documents. But really, it was my effort to get the background information on the economy and estimate the model.
Very good.
Thank you.
I have two questions. What was the time frame for the study? The $82 million, your businesses, that's business output from... When did it begin, to 2009?
Since they started projects such as Aiken 2020 projects.
So What was that for those of us that are,
yes,
what, 1980 or so?
1993 is when they started.
1993 to 2009?
Yes.
Okay.
1993 is the Aiken 2020 project. This accounted for all these different projects that affected education, additional parking in downtown. They also were able to improve the appearance of the city by doing several beautification projects. And they were, as you go later on, they did several housing projects. Then they were able to relocate the building of the chamber building to downtown. They had help from the Savannah Riverside that helped them clean up the vacant lots. So you are talking, yes, since those early days in 1990s until most recent. Actually, the ones which the study did not account for are the projects, the current railroad projects. Those are the projects which are still in progress, mm-hmm. and I did not account for those. And also the African American Historic Society, that project is not a part of this study. But basically, I think your section number 2 gives the list of the projects that were part of the study. Tule Hill projects, again, additional beautification and historic preservation projects, residential infills, and few others. The projects, again, which are not part, are African American History, Art, and Cultural Center, and railroad project, and Aiken Performing Arts Group. These are things which are still in progress.
Thank you. Good job.
You're welcome. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, you mentioned local Aiken economy. Is that in the county, or do you use a radius around Aiken, like 40 miles or 30 miles or something?
Again, as you look throughout the study, on some of the figures are they are talking. I was able to give specifically the information on the city, and on some instances the information for the city on the city level was not available, so I was referring to the county. And I was trying to be really good about keeping up with the difference between the two. So for instance, when I'm talking about the population, I was able to go decade by decade and give you the city, the county, state, and national numbers. And then per capita income, I was able to do the same thing. Some of the numbers, such as those basic and non-basic industries, you cannot get them to the city level. Actually, you can, but it's very difficult to get them to that micro level. So if I'm talking Aiken County, it specifically said it is the data for the county and not the city.
I was looking at the chart that says local area Aiken economy at 82 million. That obviously has to be, you know, 30, 40-mile radius of here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, that would right. be the one that is affecting the broader Aiken area, yes.
It's been a few years since I worked with this, and it was in a different state. But this $1.80 spending to the local economy, is that kind of a national average now, or what is the national average? You mentioned 1.51 down in here, because those are higher than I was used to using. But
well, believe it or not, it's about time for me to update my program, so those numbers might be even higher these days. You see, every economy is different. Every local economy is different. For us here in South Carolina, we have enough, and I'm talking South Carolina as a state, we have enough manufacturing jobs so that 2.05 multiplier that the manufacturing sector is producing is a common multiplier which you can find in states such as South Carolina, Michigan, Illinois, states that do have still have some manufacturing jobs. Then construction is the second engines for the local economy for us, and it's about 2.10%. Those numbers are pretty much what you can find again in states that do have construction or manufacturing sector as those basic industries. In a state such as, let's say, California, California would be a good example, or New York, which these two sectors are not the engines of their local growth, that number might be going down to 1.7, 1.8.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you again.
Excellent job.
Very much.
No more questions.
Appreciate it.
Very good. Very comprehensive.
I think we'll have to study a little bit more to ask.
You are welcome. Again, it was my personal privilege to work on this project, and I am hopeful that you can use the information provided by the study for your future reference, and please do not hesitate to contact me if you have any other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Why don't we have a motion and second to just accept this as information?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we accept this information.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay. Pass this unanimously. Under new business, first item is the selection of the Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Every couple years, we select a Mayor Pro Tem. In the past, we have done this based on the amount of time with the City Council. We started a number of years ago, and the most recent Mayor Pro Tem was Councilwoman Waters. Looking at the number of years of time with City Council, the next council member, based on the formula that you used in the past, would be Council Member Wells, should he be willing to accept it. After that 2 years, then Council Member DeWire would be the next council member selected as the Mayor Pro Tem. So for your consideration tonight, we're asking you to consider approving Councilmember Wells serve as Mayor Pro Tem starting this month and then ending in December 2011.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. So, Mayor, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, it is an honor to make the motion that Don Wells serve as the Mayor Pro Tem of Bacon City Council.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Oh, did you?
All right. Any discussion? Oh, no, that's fine. Show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay. Pass this unanimously. Item 2 is a resolution of acceptance of a $3,340,000 grant through ARRA funding. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. We received this grant some time ago. In fact, you have already approved accepting it. Now the state wants us to pass this resolution, they said, to us. They ask that we not change anything whatsoever in it. We have reviewed it. It does appear to not be a problem whatsoever. We have worked with this particular agency in the past and found them to be very good to work with. Although they call this a loan assistance, if you turn the back portion of it, it does show that it's a forgivable loan assistance. So we do expect, if you look at, see, that's page 188 under Appendix B, it shows the amount of the loan, less principal forgiveness, which is the same amount as the loan, and so the net repayment is zero. This will be used to go ahead and begin the work in the parkways in front of this building and along Park Avenue, and then we'll be selecting several others throughout the parkway system in the downtown area. So for your consideration tonight, we are asking City Council to approve the attached resolution authorizing approving acceptance of the loan assistance funds from the South Carolina Water Quality Revolving Fund Authority.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept this grant from the ARA funding in the amount of $3,340,000 to work with the South Carolina, this is the event of the South Carolina Water Quality Revolving Fund Authority.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. LeDuc, from my conversation, it doesn't appear any way that the city will have to come up with funds for this because everything is in order and we're well on schedule and within budget, right?
That is correct. The only thing that we will be having to fund that was not eligible, they allowed us to use the funds to go ahead and do the engineering. They allow us to use these funds to do the construction inspection. We passed, I want to say about 2 months ago, some money to allow Clemson University to go ahead and to do some additional monitoring after all the work has been completed. We feel with that additional monitoring that we will be able to be eligible for additional funds in the future to do more of this work. We believe there's going to be these funds available. We have to show that what we have done works. So this will take care of everything that we have today.
Good. Thank you. It looks like a very good project for the future.
Roger, can you estimate what amount of in-kind costs that we have provided with this, with the engineering work? Is it nominal?
Well, I don't want to belittle our department. Our department has been working awfully hard at it, and Larry has gone up to Columbia on many, many occasions, but the actual majority of the design work has been done by our consultants, Wolpert, and also using Clemson University to do a bunch of the other work. We have been the facilitators of all the work, and then the consultants and the university have done the actual hard work in presenting and putting together the plan work for it.
I was looking for a dollar amount, but I guess I can't get that. That's kind of
a
hard.
Dollar amount of our staff's time, that would be hard to say without looking at it more closely.
Okay, any other questions, comments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
I can tell you that it's been several hundreds of hours, but Larry generally works about an 80-hour work week and does most of this on the weekends and at night.
Item 3 is acceptance of deed of dedication for Jim Lake's detention pond. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. In 2007, the city of Aiken annexed about 300 properties in the Jim Lake subdivision of the approximately 600 properties that are there. Basically, we annexed the area that would be between Silver Bluff Road and the ponds that are out there. At that time, we did not annex this particular pond that has been referred to by the county as Jim Lake's Phase N. We recently went to them and asked that they take control of the roads at the industrial park we have. That's A.B. Miles Road, and the other road is being Forest Holly Way, so that they would go ahead. It's 8 miles from the city. They could be maintaining them. And about 15 years, they'll need to be resurfaced. And so we said, if you take those over, we'll go ahead and take over the county's Jim Lake Phase N, especially with the fact that we were serving that area now. In September, they passed a resolution approving that exchange. And so tonight, we are asking that you go ahead and do likewise and to go ahead and accept the county's Jim Lake Phase N in exchange for the county's acceptance of Forest Holly Way and A.B. Miles Drive and Ventures Industrial.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we accept the dedication for Jim Lake's road in exchange for Forest Holly Way and A.B. Miles by the county.
All right. I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Pass this unanimously. Item 4, approval of the revised community revitalization development plan, CRDP. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, in 2006, approximately 3 years ago, in December of that year, we had a request that we would approve this community revitalization development plan, which essentially is behind the Aiken High School. Second Baptist Church is working on a single family development in that area. And they have a much larger plan that goes all the way to Highway 1, almost all the way to Rutland Drive, and then all the way to Teague Avenue. Through the years, that plan has changed somewhat, and about a year ago, we went ahead and approved an addition to that plan for them to go ahead and seek out some grant funds, and that's at the very back, which is on page 204 of your documents, which shows they have an assisted living adult daycare center and senior center at that location. Now, we looked at that plan, we approved it, but we didn't validate it as part of changing this CRDP. They are seeking some tax credit funds, and to get the full amount, we would need to incorporate that into the CRDP. So even though we approved the concept a couple of years ago. We never included it in this community revitalization development plan. We have Harvey Ramsour here from the Second Baptist CDC that will be happy to answer any questions, but what we're asking tonight is to pass this resolution approving the 40-acre site owned by Second Baptist CDIC as a community renewal development plan, which will complement all the work that we're doing on the north side and fits in very well with what we're trying to achieve.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we accept this request.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second also. Okay. Any discussion? Mr. Ramsour, would you like to tell us a few things about it?
Arthur Ramsour, director of the Second Baptist CDC, and Roger has given all of my words. I don't think I need to say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. But it's kind of critical as we continue the process of trying to develop that 70-acre site, 35 acres that are closest to DuPont Avenue, just behind Aiken High, are going to be developed, we hope, by the Community Development Corporation of Second Baptist. We now have a funding to begin the development of that site with a development including 9 single-family homes. Hopefully we will be able to bid the contract sometime in early January and start construction on those 9 homes and the infrastructure. As we look forward to the next round of tax credit properties, tax credits, we hope to put forth an application with a partnership that includes the Second Baptist CDC, CDIC, the Bonner Group, and the Nehemiah Corporation to build the senior developments, which will be 50 units of housing for the seniors. And in order to do that, a part of the application requirement is that there be a CDRP, Community Development Relocation Plan, that specifically addresses the needs for seniors in that particular location. So we're asking you to adjust the language in the plan that you've already approved so that we have the maximum number of points on the table when we go forward. So that's the need for this action now, and it has to be in place by the end of the year.
Okay. And the resolution, I see, does include the city building a regional detention pond.
Is that accurate? That is correct.
That's correct.
This council approved that a couple of years ago. So once they begin their work, then we will go ahead and expend the money to go ahead and start with that regional plan for the detention pond, which will greatly enhance that area. That area for decades has just flooded back there, including behind
UPS
vocational
area.
Rehabilitation and UPS and the entire area. And I did want to say that, especially for the two new council members that we have here tonight, that Second Baptist, the CDC, has been a partner with the city on many projects. They have built numerous single-family homes, which were needed for what I want to call, the best word is the workforce individuals who can't maybe afford a luxurious home but needs a good quality affordable home, and they have built dozens, probably close to 100.
We've completed 25 housing units.
Is that all? It seems like hundreds. Anyways, they've just done a great job, and several duplexes and several single family homes, and so this is just one more step for them, and we appreciate the partnership they had with the city all these years.
Thank you. We appreciate the city participating in all the projects that we've come forward with.
So, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, Harvey.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion after this? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass this unanimously. Under petitions and requests, the Aiken Corporation loan request for the railroad depot. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, at their September board meeting, Aiken Corporation voted to request the city provide a loan of $1.3 million at 1% over the city's investment pool interest. The purpose of the loan is to pay off the depot project. Chairman of the Aiken Corporation, Wade Brody, is here tonight to discuss this with you. He feels that if the city would consider this, they could save quite a bit of interest money. Over the last several years, City Council has worked with Aiken Corporation. As we heard tonight, the major project was on the office building that's attached to the Aiken Theater. That was a $3.5 million loan that the city gave them in 2000, which has been paid down at about $2,250,000. In addition, we have loaned them money, $60,000 from the sale. We call it the Blue House. That's the house on Chesterfield Street, basically right behind the theater. And we have given them $20,000 to complete their spec building and $250,000 for work in the Tule Hill area. Those loans, all three of them, are at 0% interest with this, them to pay back the city whenever the city wants to call those loans. We spoke about this at the meeting last Wednesday. And one of the things that came up very interestingly was I was at a meeting on Tuesday with the federal rural development folks, and Jesse Palmer was there, and Jesse, who has been working with them for the last couple of decades, during this time we as a state have given back a lot of the money to the federal government because we couldn't follow all their strict guidelines. So they got a new director in there, and the director has sent these individuals to other states that have been using all the money and even more from other states, and found out that you could follow the guidelines and then you could follow the guidelines and kind of step outside the guidelines a little bit and do possibly some other projects. I talked, Leslie and I had a good discussion this morning with Wayne Rogers. Wayne Rogers is the director of the Lower Savannah Council of Governments here in our area, and they kind of oversee a lot of these projects. In other words, any initiation for any work would be done through Wayne's office. I've known Wayne for the last 25 years, worked with him in North Augusta for a number of years, and so Wayne has had a large amount of working with our community in our county. He stated that this particular area, the railroad depot, possibly could have some potential for getting a loan. Their loans, in most cases like this, would be at 2.5% interest, but they have to see some kind of nexus between job creation. So when they look at things, is, you know, how many jobs are going to create from it. We talked about the railroad depot, and basically what they're doing right now, there's probably not a lot of job creation because we're just going to be taking existing staff from Parks and Recreation and moving them on over. Of course, you could look at the entire area and what this may do the entire area. Just as was stated with the economic development, it's kind of a multiplying factor, and that other businesses could locate there. But more importantly, we discussed the second phase, which would include what they call the baggage building or the kitchen area, which would have a platform and then two railroad cars. And that itself could create some jobs, especially with the idea that Aiken Tech someday could move in there and create training and education. And he thought that there may be some possibility of them being able to work together to provide a loan towards this. Now, an awful lot would have to go into that, and a lot of more discussion would have to be looked at, and they would have to talk to Aiken Corporation, the possibility of job creation, what kind of a business plan or situation may develop on the Union Street area. But Wayne's last words to me was he would do everything he could, if this is what the city would like to do, towards possibly them lending the money. But at this point in time, it has to be used for job creation. And I mention all these things to you because this is one of the things we talked about last Wednesday at the Aiken Corporation meeting. They asked Leslie Price to go look into this, and then we had the discussion today. So I state that because as you hear tonight about the their plea for some money, there possibly is another solution out there. And I can't tell you today whether that's it certainly is not a guarantee, but it certainly is a possibility, and one that is a little bit higher interest rate than what the city would be lending them. Right now we're getting a little under 1%, so what the way they would like the loan structure would be, let's say 1% that the city has, then 1% more, that's 2% versus 2.5%. I hope in future years, Kim Abney and I have had this discussion many times, that it was only about 2 years ago we were getting 4% from the state. So you look at 4% plus 1%, that's 5%. Mm-hmm. We expect that interest rates will go up, maybe slowly, but they will go up in the future. And so 2.5% then does become a very attractive loan agreement if they could possibly get that. So again, I throw that out to you. Leslie may have something more she wants to say on that. But again, what they're asking tonight is for this loan. If you decide that you want to consider lending them the money, we'd have to come back to you in January with an actual ordinance as to where the money would come from and the actual conditions of that loan. So it would be a two-step process. You either tonight could say, yes, let's move forward and get that ordinance before us so we could look at it further. You could say, no, we don't want to do this at all. Or number three, you could just go ahead and say, let's table it until we get some more information, possibly on the loan through the Rural Development Act funds or some other means. So those are pretty much the three options you have before you tonight.
Did Wayne give you any idea at all when he might come back with an answer?
He wanted to hear what, number one, happened tonight. He only had a short period of time to really look into this. Leslie approached the state folks on Friday, I believe, mm-hmm. it was, and then we talked to Wayne today. So he was kind of hearing this for the second time, and he only had a little bit of time to think about it. I think that by next month, about 4 weeks from now, we should have a much better feeling anyways or indication as to can they do this or can they not do this.
Well, the other question is, Mr. Mayor, too, is I don't know about the timeline, and though this sounds very attractive, the delay in the process of moving the railroad project along, normally, based on past experience, these things have moved along pretty rapidly based on this being a loan. But I don't know about the process and Wayne having to meet with folks and the timeline in which this will take place in order to get an answer, and the delay in the railroad project. You don't want to stop that process from moving or come to a halt with the wait.
Well, so. There is another thing that could happen, assuming if council wants to move this forward. We could vote to move it ahead to work up the ordinance and let us take a look at it. And then at that point in time, it could be the first meeting in January or the second meeting in January. Then that would come to a vote at that point in time, yay and nay. Maybe we would have some information back, maybe not.
Yeah,
so I mean,
this evening,
if we either up or down, but we could say we're gonna vote to move it forward or not move it forward to the point where the ordinance can be written and come back to us at the next meeting, perhaps. Wait.
Thank you, Mayor, and I think you make a very good suggestion. I think we should explore the possibility of this other lending source. because it'd certainly be to our benefit if you, I assume we're talking about locking it in at 2.5%.
Yes, correct.
Whereas if we went with the city, rates go up, our rates would go up. But since we don't know all the details and we'd have to work all of this out with this group, it would be beneficial, I think, if tonight you would go ahead and move forward on the approval, subject to the ordinance coming back and then looking at it, and this will give a month to look at this other source of funding.
Mr. Mayor, on job creation, is the work that's actually in process to continue to work, isn't that a job creation in itself, or is that not interpreted that way?
Certainly, if the project had not already commenced, you could go ahead and tie the two together. And that's why I was talking about, if you looked at the total project, which Aiken Corporation's going to get some prices on what the, I'll call phase two, which is the railroad cars, the platform, the baggage area. So it could be totally completed. There would be job creation from that, although they're looking more at permanent jobs, not so much as temporary jobs. And that's why I would, again, hopefully the state is looking outside the box, and they're looking at just the railroad depot and what that could go ahead be as far as job creation, but look at what we have seen in the past from anchors like this and what it could do to the area around it in creating new jobs and revitalizing that area. So that's what I hope to be able to discuss with Wayne Rogers and them, that it's, yes, we have the temporary jobs for the construction. We could have some, there's certainly some permanent jobs though if the schools start doing their teaching there. And then we'd have some other jobs created in and around the area from new businesses opening up.
But if we couldn't get a loan on the total phase one and phase two, if we, you know, came down to just getting it on phase two, would still be beneficial to the overall cost.
I certainly would like to see us have a bigger discussion on the finances of the issue, quite frankly. As you know, I've been somewhat reluctant to approve these loans, and I don't know whether it's worthwhile to wait and have that discussion after you do the ordinance at the next meeting or not.
Well, we can do either way.
Okay. But at some point, we need to have that discussion. We need to talk about where the money's coming from, where in the city we have this amount of money that is not set aside for anything else, and we need to find out how we expect the Aiken Corporation to be able to pay it back, which I have not yet to talk to anybody that can give me a good answer to that. And this is going to be a prelude for the African American Cultural Center, because whatever we do to one, we will be expected to do to the other. So this is a major task that the council is being asked to undertake, and I think we need to take a good, hard financial look. So whenever that happens, but it needs to happen.
I agree. However, I would say this, that this, as far as I'm concerned, this stands alone. We take each thing as it comes.
Oh, well, sure, yeah.
And
just one package.
Circumstances and and what it means to our city and all these kinds of things we take in. But I agree with you, Dick, on we need a more thorough understanding of it. But I would propose that we move ahead just based on getting an ordinance prepared.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to see us move ahead. I think I agree that once you start the development and it takes hold, that it will be an incubator for other businesses to come along and do wonders for the neighborhood. And so I'd like to see us go ahead and get this started, independent of what they may ask us for in the future. I think we have allowed these two projects to stand on their own, and I'd like to see us move forward, at least with this one, get the ordinance done. And if anything comes to fruition with USDA and with Wayne, then so be it. But at least we'll have something done to keep work going. I don't think we can afford to let it just, I guess what we used to say, dry rot. I think we need to go ahead and push it forward.
Right. Beverly, one thing you touched on, and I think, you know, there are different views on this, of course, but I think many of us see this as a magnet for more business, for
right.
more development, redevelopment, and that kind of thing down Park Avenue. We've already seen a doctor's office go in, very nicely done, and I think when it's all said and done, the depot will be a great facility for education for the kids. It'll be an office, of course, for us, and it will develop that the park will be improved, and hopefully that will be the magnet that we're looking for down in that area of the city. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question of Mr. Brody. When would you stop, or, you know, what is the immediacy of getting this loan approved? How far is construction able to continue without the infusion of funds?
The 1.3 completes the first phase of the building, which is the main building, and the exhibits, the dioramas. So 1.3 million.
Can you put that in a time for us instead of just the project?
Probably in the next couple of months. I mean, the building is pretty far along. The dioramas have been installed. We're working with a contractor on the exhibit. So, and we're shooting for, I think, May, that ties in with the 175th anniversary to do an open house. So. Hmm. Whether we get the loan or not, the $1.3 million is not going to hold the project up. We've got a line of credit that we can move forward. The only thing delaying working with the city on it is costing us $2,000 a month in additional interest at the present time.
You estimated it would save $50,000
interest. Well, and I misspoke on that because we're talking about $50,000 a year. If you take 1.3 million times 6%, and 1.3 million times 2%, subtract the two, you get about $52,000. So that's a pretty big chunk of money. Plus, it would allow the city to make 1%, which is about what, $13,000 a year.
Right.
So it benefits both of us. But I do think that since this other issue has come up, we need to look at it, because long term that'd be more beneficial, I think.
Yeah, I'd like to say, if you haven't been down to the depot recently, I was down the other day, and a lot of folks working. I think we created some jobs at least today when I was there. There's a lot working. The dioramas are all upstairs. And it's really coming along real well.
But may I just add a comment too, Mr. Mayor, that what we have created in this town is a tremendous historic corridor. When you look at the former USC Aikens campus, all these are in walking distance. The Schofield School. You have the depot that's coming. You have the African-American Center coming, the downtown area. It is a tremendous corridor of history that we've worked on. We are here to preserve our history and the heritage of this town.
Just to share a little bit, has nothing to do with the loan itself, but every year we take our students to either Savannah, Charleston, Beaufort. We've taken them to places like that. And in talking with the students this year, you know what they want to do? They want to know what's going on with those old railroad cars down there. They want to stay home and they want to see what's going on in Aiken. They want to know if they're going to be able to ride it come this spring. And even when my grandchildren came this summer and they saw those rusty cars, and when they came back for Thanksgiving, they wanted to see what had been done. And it is amazing the number of tourists that you see, people just over there to see what's going on. And I think that we need to take advantage of the interest, and I think we need to take advantage of what could happen to the area if we go ahead and proceed on schedule. I think having an alternative source of funding would be great, but all we're asking tonight is that we do what we need to do tonight to at least keep it going, and then when that other
avenue opens up, then we'll be ready for it. But I don't know, if we don't do anything tonight and then that doesn't come through, then we're that much further behind.
And I don't think we need to hold off. I think we need to move.
Do we have a motion then?
So moved.
Well, wait a minute. Can we get through with questions, please?
Well, we have a motion second. Now we can discuss.
Right. I'll second.
Okay. After the $1.3 million, how much more will you need to finish the project?
Approximately $1.1 million.
And where do you plan on getting that?
There are several different sources. One would be the accommodations tax over a period of time. I would prefer not to use that. Another source would be the 1% sales tax, which is what coming up next year. I think that would be a good source for repayment. But regardless, you go need to borrow the money. So we'd be coming back to the city, or we'd be going to this other source to borrow the money, looking at the sales tax as a possibility to pay it back.
Wade, one thing you haven't mentioned is the pledges that you have. I think it's worth talking about that for at least a minute or two.
Okay. Pledges really relate to the $1.3 million. At the present time, we've gotten approximately $2.3 million in pledges. The balance of pledges is approximately $1.2 million. As of Friday, we will receive a $100,000 payment. So that's going to leave $1.1. And in that total is an agreement with the county that they're going to contribute $500,000. So that brings the balance down to what, $600,000? And if you're concerned about people honoring their commitments, we ended the third year now of this project, and we have written off $6,000 with what, about two-thirds of it having been paid. So I'm not concerned about people paying their pledges. Aiken is a unique community. If we look back to 2020, United Way, the loss of 10,000 jobs at SRS, never missed a heartbeat. All these projects continued to move forward, and that's because we're a giving community.
And with under Aiken 2020, we raised $3
million. $3.5 million, and probably 95% or greater.
Of $3.5 million you have in pledges right now, how much is that of that money is from either the city or the county?
$3.5 million.
You said you have $2.3 in pledges and a $1.2 balance, which I add up to be $3.5 million. I'm not doing it right?
No.
Something.
No, the total pledges is $3.2 million. The balance on the pledges is $1.2 million.
Okay, so the total pledges is $3.2 million.
Right.
The balance is $1.2 million.
Right.
Of that $3.2 million, how much of that is money from the city or the state or the county?
Of the $2.2 million, includes $500,000 from the county, which we have not gotten, and they propose to include that in the sales tax package. And it includes $250,000, which came from the city through accommodations tax. And the city has also committed $250,000 in kind. Now, I'm not sure whether we've gotten that included in the total pledges or not. Probably have, I think.
So 3.2 with 1.2 balance.
No, 2.2.
2.2. 2.2 and a 1.2 balance. Can I say that pledges now then are 3.4?
No.
I think there's some terminology here.
Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to clarify. You've got $2.2 million in pledges, but all
total pledges are $2.2 million.
Okay.
Okay. Of that, what, $1,100,000 has been paid, so that leaves $1.1 million. In outstanding pledges.
But of that $1.1 million paid,
half a million is county.
Yeah, of the 1.1 million paid, 750,000 of it, by far the bulk of it, comes from 500,000 from the city, from the county, and 250,000 from the city.
We have not gotten the county money yet.
Okay.
So that's not figured in there.
All right. Okay. Well, it just highlights why we need to have a discussion.
I think we're in a position, if we decide to move forward with the ordinance, to sit down with anybody and show you the total pledges, what we expect to collect, and how we expect to pay the city back. I don't think that's a problem.
Well, absolutely.
I've got a question, Mr. Mayor. On the corporation owes a certain amount, like $2.2 million left on the theater, right, the Playhouse?
Yes.
Now,
we own, Aiken Corporation owns the office building. The city owns the Playhouse, and they have joint ownership of the lobby. You got a common lobby.
But do you segregate your funds, your note to the payoff is due in 12, and you've got $2.2 million between now and 2012.
We would expect to refinance that. We would have to refinance because the source of payment is the lease. Okay. So you'd have to renegotiate the lease and renegotiate the loan.
But you wouldn't, because money's fungible, you wouldn't be using pledges for the railroad depot for the...
We don't commingle. Every tub stands on its own bottom.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor,
yes,
another thing, and I had a discussion with Mr. Morris and also Mr. Ledoux in relation to the funds that have been set aside by the city to do the other remaining landscaping and stuff. And I think in relation to this discussion, we need the appropriate oversight of that to look at it and be sure what's left will cover it. It's something less than $250,000 now, but there's a considerable amount of work to do that the city is committed to. And I think that ought to be part of the discussion in the near future.
Sure. Do we have a handle on that?
We're keeping a cost accounting of that $250,000 as we're using it. The majority of it's going to be used to re-landscape Union Street from Park Avenue up to Richland Avenue to do some curb and gutter work, some sidewalk work, and some street work and some parking areas. So
that's a good suggestion because we need to, as you're bringing this total package together, we need to look at everything.
We could have a simple sheet saying 250 and showing what's been done, how much money's been spent, what needs to be done, what's the estimate, that kind of thing you're talking about.
Yes, well, that's what I was looking for, to be sure if more is needed, let's put the whole package together.
I bet Larry has that now.
Yeah, but that $250,000 is not to be used for the construction of what's currently taking place out there in the building.
I understand.
Or in the cars or the platforms.
I understand, but there's looking at the drawing with Larry today, with Mr. Morris, there's a considerable amount of curb and gutter work and stuff, and maybe part of it goes in other funds, but I think an accounting with this would be good to be sure we're not going to run out of money there.
I think there's enough questions here. You raised a great point about making sure that we know exactly what has been spent, what hasn't been spent, what is exactly what is needed. Because right now we're talking about servicing a loan. What I'm more interested in, and I'm sure some of the other people on the council might be interested in, is what is it actually that we need the money for? I'd like to get a detail on how the money is supposed to be designated, for what it's designated, how much has been spent, and how much is left over. $1.3 million, I understand, is what they need, but I don't understand. Is it $1.3 million to pick up the job like we're in the middle of the alphabet and finish up with Z? Or is it something less? Or is phase one at jeopardy if we don't act on it today or within the next month or so? Seems to me the work is going to progress whether we approve this $1.3 million or work on it next time around. I think there's enough questions. We might want to just table it and... take a look at it you know, after we get the information from the Council of Governments and find out what the other options are, like Councilman Ebner asked questions about what, you know, $250,000 for in-kind contribution is fine, but I'd like to get a breakdown. I mean, what are we really talking about?
Well, yeah. Sure, go ahead.
I hate to go through a whole meeting without saying anything. So, I think what Roger's asking is whether or not council wants to direct the staff to go ahead and have an ordinance prepared that would be ready for the next council meeting in January. If that's the motion before you, by approving that motion, you're not agreeing to lend the money to Bacon Corporation at this point. All you're doing is saying, yes, we're directing the staff to go ahead and do this ordinance. You'll have two readings of the ordinance, and certainly the staff can bring you the data that you're requesting as that ordinance is being requested. But no loan would be official until you've had second reading and council votes to approve it on second reading. So you're still a month and a half away from being final from anything.
Mr. Mayor, I understand what he's saying, and I do understand what we're talking about. Being a realist, though, with the Christmas holidays coming on us, and I think we've already identified about four or five items that we're kind of hazy about, I'd hate to have the city staff working on a proposal only to have it change when we learn some more information, hopefully, from some of the other outside agents. And that's basically what I said.
How much change would there be in an ordinance such as that? But let me, while you're thinking about it, you know, in my view, the questions that are being asked are simply, it could be simply stated on a financial statement. Larry's dealing with $250,000. Okay, as I said earlier, and why couldn't we do this? He lists all the jobs he has to do. He's got $250,000. He shows it down. Simple piece of paper. And the questions you asked, Steve, that could be done. I mean, I asked Wade today, what is the total cost of that building? Just the building, not the baggage, not the cars or anything else. And you've got an answer for that. What was that?
Well, it's going to be $2.3
million. Okay.
That includes does include the purchase of the cars, bringing them in, rehabilitating the outside of the cars.
Yeah. Now, aren't we really just asking for a sheet that shows these things by item number and a cost?
Yes, we are.
The cars cost so much, it's going to cost so much to renovate them.
Yes, we are, Mr. Mayor, but the frustration with this project is it's not been a shared project. I can recall looking at minutes in 1999 that said this project wasn't going to cost the city anything. And now all of a sudden we're up to several million dollars. You know, the idea when it first started, when it first had a germ of an idea, was that the community would come together and make their pledges and so forth. Who could have envisioned the recession that we're in right now? And that has an impact on this. And I'm glad that your pledges have not been affected at all by the recession. I'm surprised, but I'm pleased that that's the case. But then again, part of your pledges are really government money. It's the money you expect to get from the county, and it's the money you've received from the city. I mean, I ran on the promise to watch taxpayers fund, and I have a major concern about lending $1.3 million. We're bailing out the local bank, so there'll be, I don't know what business you'll have with Security Federal, because this is going to take them completely out of the picture. And I think I have to look the citizens of Aiken in the eye and say, yeah, we loan $1.3 million, but I can't tell them how it's ever going to get paid.
Right. What we need is a work session.
Well, if that's what it takes.
Where we can sit out here with the public and all and go over the details. And I think we can do that. Let's have a work session the first Monday night, the second Monday night of January.
I'm trying to, for me, it would help me to know what an ordinance would read first. We've got some time between now and our next meeting, and to have something in my hand to review a month from now.
The ordinance would be very similar to the ordinance that was already done when the Washington Group building was built. But it'd be almost identical
to that. Right, and that's what we're proposing, to just have that available to us to take a look at.
And the ordinance is primarily going to state where the money, this $1.3 million, is going to come from within the city's budget. What I believe a number of you are asking, and I can't give you the answer tonight, and I'm maybe Wade can, but I believe you'd like to see something in writing as to how they're going to pay back the $1.3 million over a period of time, and what exactly is the $1.3 million is going to be used for. Now, they've given you some information on the why they need $1.3 million. Again, this was written in September. It's now 3 months later, and a lot of work has changed so that, you know, I think we get, they could get some more clear numbers, but it's primarily in, well, how's the money going to get paid back?
Yeah, precisely, and we clearly have an issue of needing more, another million dollars to finish the project.
Can I interject something here? Mr. Mayor, apparently this railroad depot is going to revert to the city eventually. I mean, if we go into a double dip recession or a depression and we do not get the money back, how do we default on ourselves? I mean, we hold the collateral and we hold the note. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, something legally should be addressed about that. Because basically, if in fact, if the depot becomes city property, then...
It's not if, already is.
Well, it is, then, but we don't really have any collateral except for the improvements that are scheduled. Is that true?
That's true. But looking at it from that standpoint, it wouldn't be a bad deal to get $2.3 million in value for $500,000 investment on the standpoint, from the standpoint of the city. It'd be a pretty good deal, I think.
I guess I'm concerned that maybe I misunderstood the intent of what we're asked to do here tonight, and that is just to give staff the go-ahead to prepare an ordinance that includes all of the answers, or most of the answers to the questions I'm hearing tonight, an outlay of how this is going to be paid back, what the city is going to provide, what steps you're going to take to ensure that we are protecting the citizens' money. And I think that would show up in the ordinance if I'm reading this correctly. And so it seems to me that I don't have the answers to any of the questions that the gentlemen are asking tonight. All I expected was that when we got an ordinance that it would be there, that we would have some answers in the ordinance. And what answers we didn't get in the ordinance would cause us to either vote it up or not vote it up. Or vote it down, and I'm prepared to look at it and see what sense it makes to me. I'm not privileged to all the skepticism that might be out there about the project and what could happen. I have to look at it positively and believe that because the Aiken Corporation is a part of the city of Aiken, that we have to depend on them to protect us. And if I understood the audit clearly tonight, it seems like they've been good stewards. And all I'm saying is that we need to continue the faith, and we need to see if we could go ahead and get an ordinance that answers some of the questions that have been raised, if not all of the questions that have been raised, and then vote it. We still have two more votes. We look at the ordinance, we read it, we pass it, or we not pass it on first reading, and then we have a second reading where we can vote it up or down. Am I wrong about that, or is there something more to this than I'm seeing here?
Well, that's what I would like to see you do.
Well, there's several ways we can do it. I'd like to see a work session if but it's not necessary. We could do it with an ordinance, but we got to have some answers, some real answers.
What the ordinance does is save time.
Well, it's
in case the other project falls through.
We can have a workshop. We've done workshops on items that we were voting on.
True.
But we have something to look at when we do the workshop. And if we prepare the ordinance, we'll have something to look at. But if we want to have the workshop first and then prepare the ordinance, I guess that can work too. I just thought what we were doing tonight was giving staff the okay to go ahead and prepare the ordinance and give us all the information they can muster up, and then we could decide whether we want to pass it or not. I did not believe that I was going to actually be lending $1.3 million tonight, but maybe giving the okay to have the work prepared.
Oh, Mr. Mayor.
Is that not what we're doing?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, that was one of the ways that we could go, Barclay. Okay. We talked about. And I'm in favor of moving ahead on it myself. Go ahead, Reggie.
In the agenda, page 208 and 209, is a resolution for that loan to on the agenda to be approved tonight. So we don't want to lose sight of that. So I assume what we're doing will override that, and I'll look at Mr. Smith as our parliamentarian to be sure we're okay with that.
You have to do it. In order to do a loan, you have to do a loan by an ordinance.
Right.
City Council can't do it.
But there is a resolution that requests that.
That resolution was written up by Aiken Corporation as an example of what they wanted to see. I only included it so that you could see some of the facts as to what they were looking for.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm not asking you to pass a resolution. I'm just saying you want us to move forward or not. If you do, again, I didn't want to subject staffs putting a lot of time to this if your answer is no. But if your answer is yes, then we'll go ahead and put the time into it. We'll have to sit down with Mr. Brody and probably Mr. Simmons and maybe some other to look at the finances so that we could then better explain it to you at a subsequent meeting.
And Roger, I think you said it very clearly in your memorandum to us that says that if council wants to consider this, that an ordinance would need to be developed, identifying the funding source and conditions for the loan. Mm-hmm. This could be presented to council at the first meeting in January.
Mr. Mayor, most of the ordinances, if you really look at them, are fairly straightforward. They don't really have the detail, I think, that some of the fellow council people are looking for. That's why I think maybe
it could have attachment A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, which would detail exactly what you're looking for, answer your questions. That could be a part of the ordinance, correct?
Be a part of the ordinance, or it could be a part of the work session. I think Mr. Brody has heard, well, you know, what the concerns are that need to be addressed.
You have to have that information anyway to be able to write the ordinance correctly and properly. Else the ordinance doesn't mean anything.
I'd be very pleased with the work session. I
agree with the work session, but we don't lose anything. As a matter of fact, we gain a little bit of time if, in fact, we want to go ahead with it at a later date by going ahead and passing this thing, moving it forward to get staff to work on an ordinance. And at the same time, staff would be gathering this cost information, financial information. And then we could have a work session, first meeting in January, and go from there. If it's not enough, we go back and get more information. If it seems to be enough, or at least a majority of council, we can move forward on first reading on the next meeting, which would be the second meeting in January. That would be my proposal.
Mr. Mayor, if I could make a motion that we move forward with this, given staff the authorization to go ahead and start preparing the ordinance. I think we've got a wonderful idea as to the questions in which we need to get answers to in order to move forward with this. And I think the Aiken Corporation knows that. I think we have discussed them tonight. How the loan's going to be paid back, what is the money going to be used for precisely that's being loaned from staff. We can find out where the money will be coming from in order to provide this funding. And if we could, I'd like to go ahead and move forward with this tonight. If we're not don't have sufficient answers, if a work session is necessary, then let's go forward with that. But I would like to see staff go ahead and get this prepared for us.
This does not commit council. We all agree, we understand. This does not commit council to any money given out or anything like that. It's merely moving it ahead in case we do agree
in January that, okay, this is the information we want, and we vote up or down, one way or the other. But we do need the information, no doubt about that. We all agree to that. So I think we've got agreement on most all of this. The question is, well, do we move ahead on the ordinance or not? Which doesn't commit anybody, put some work on the staff. If it were passed later, they'd have to do it anyway. So I see it as just a way to get all the answers and also perhaps move ahead a month or two.
And I think you already had a motion and a second.
We have a motion. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm.
Had a second.
You had a motion and a second before you had the discussion.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion?
Well, let me just add, too, that after we get, if this is approved, after we get the information, it could be that we may need a work session prior to the first reading. We'll meet the second Monday in January. And if our schedule permit, it could be that we need to meet before the first reading or in between the first reading and the second reading, as you've stated.
Well, we can do anything we want to do in that regard. I just threw out a work session, the first meeting in January.
Right.
Not that it would be on the agenda to pass or anything like that. It would just be a work session to go all over the ordinance. Would the ordinance be ready by then or not?
Thank you. What I was going to mention is we will go ahead and work with Aiken Corporation. We'll be talking to Lower Savannah Council of Governments, talking to some other folks. And if you don't mind, let us determine if it'll be on the first meeting in January, the second meeting in January, give us some flexibility. If we feel like it's not just real, real clear that everybody could understand it, we will go ahead and schedule a work session, or we could just, you know, if we decide that we think it's clear, we could always talk about a longer length of time at the meeting. I think we'll probably be able to get something done for the first meeting in January, but to me, there's a lot of questions that I have.
You want to work, too.
And
sure.
What we'll do is then go ahead and get all this information and get something back to you, either in a work session form or for the first reading in January.
Well, I have a question. You say, Mr. Mayor, that it's possible that we'll have a first reading of this ordinance on the first meeting in January?
Mm-mm.
Or is that definitely precluded?
I see that as a work session, just plain work session, to go over what okay. We want, what we're the answer
is. Right, I was just going to ask what the motion was, because I'm a little confused.
Yeah,
The motion did not include a work session. My motion did not include a work session. But he says he definitely wants a work session.
Well, yeah,
that we need to plan for one, and I would like to make that a part of the motion, too.
The only exception to that, of course, we schedule work sessions without having to vote necessarily for them. But Roger mentioned that if he doesn't have the information together in a way that he feels strongly that everybody would understand it, and then it could be the second meeting.
Yeah, I would agree. If the city manager doesn't feel it, that it's he feels that it should be delayed till the second meeting, he should have that discretion. I have no qualms about
that. Be part of the motion, then, as you second it.
And what is the motion again?
Let's please restate the motion, Mr. Mayor.
We're so confused. You remember what you moved, Beverly?
I move that we move forward with the ordinance to.
Preparation of the ordinance.
Preparation of the ordinance for the loan to the Aiken Corporation.
Okay. Do you want to include your statement about a work session?
With the understanding that we would schedule a work session.
Yeah. To discuss this.
Either the first meeting in January for us or the second meeting in January for us. Is that
at the city manager's discretion?
Based on the city manager's discretion.
And I second that.
Okay. Good. All right. Any more comment? All in favor? Show of hands, please. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your consideration.
Carla has something to say.
Thank you, Wayne.
For those of you that are new, this is not my favorite part of my job. My name is Carla Cloud, and I'm the executive director of ADDA. So for me to come up here, I kept holding on to my seat trying not to, but I do think I need to come up here and tell you that In the 3 years that I've been in this position, and I've spoken with other people in my position in other cities, people constantly come and talk about what a unique city we have. And when I start talking with them to try to distinguish why we are unique and what's different about Aiken than other cities, the thing it keeps coming back to is that public-private partnership that has been historical here. And I sense sometimes that there's angst here and a little mistrust, and I just want to encourage the council and Aiken Corporation and the community to realize how important it is. There are projects that we have here that will never happen in another city because the community can't do it on its own without the city support, whether it's financially or in what vein. And so, although I know a lot of people think that the government shouldn't help and should be separated, and I feel like that a lot of times, but I've seen in my experience in these last 3 years that there are several projects that would never happen without the support of the city helping the community to reach these projects, and there are other cities that wouldn't have it. And that's why when they come here, they talk about how unique we are. And also, as far as the trust, you know, it's not like, because I work with ADDA, also with these other projects, like we're saying, give us money and that's it. We are constantly trying to get more funding. We just received another grant from the Heritage Foundation, which is another $20,000. So that would be going towards this. So it's not like we're sitting on our laurels and thinking, oh, the city will take care of us. We want this to be a partnership, and we want to do our part. And also as far as the depot being a city office soon, you know, Anderson, there are a lot of cities who have a welcome center that is the cities that brings people in and is inviting to people. And that's what I see this project being when it is in completion and that office is there. So I just really felt compelled to say that.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you. Okay, we're at the end of our agenda. Thank everybody and have happy holidays and
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
That's right. Be safe. We are adjourned.
How are you? Good. Right.
Yes. This one did? This one. I'll change it out.
I'm not sure why they're on your point.
Thank you.
Okay. I understand that.
Larry?
No. I'm sorry.
Make sure you sharpen the pen.
No.